examples of when they might find it useful all the time.
I know, all the time, exactly.
Literally all the time.
Are you crazy about Chihuahuas? Maybe you're wondering if a Chihuahua is the right dog for you. Perhaps you have a training or a behavior struggle. Well, look no further. Here you will find expert opinions, honest views, training and behavior advice, and much more on the Chihuahua Podcast. And now, allow me to welcome your hosts, Kate Masterton and Haley Miles. Over to you, ladies.
Hello, everybody. My name is Haley Miles, and welcome to the Chihuahua Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Kate Masterton. Hello.
Hello.
We are going to talk to you today about the number two things you should be teaching your Chihuahua.
But before we get into it, I just want to talk about our last episode, which was massively successful. Most of you loved it. Some of you didn't like it. It did cause a bit of controversy, as we expected it probably would do. Some of you felt that it was promoting breeding over adopting. And both me and Hayley are both massive supporters of rescue dogs. And we weren't, I wasn't saying in the episode that kennel club registered dogs are better than non-kennel club registered dogs, to anybody that felt that way. The point was, I was promoting ethical breeding, which I think is more important. And we both have rescue dogs.
I was just about to say that. We both have a rescue dog. Bo is a rescue, well, she's a rehome. And I believe Maisie has a story behind her as well.
Yeah, so Maisie was found in a bin. So she's also a rescue dog of unknown origin. All of our dogs are wonderful. I'm not saying any dog's better than another dog. But responsible breeding and responsible adopting is also really important. And we are going to actually do an episode about rescue dogs and rescue chihuahuas.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that we're really passionate about as well. And I stand by the things that I said in the previous episode. If you haven't listened to it, do go back and listen to that. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, it was massively successful and everybody loved it. So
it was great. Rachel was, it's just such a lot of information in that episode. I really enjoyed talking to Rachel, and quite a few of you actually were ordering glucose and things, you know, basically the glucose for the your chihuahuas, because that was an important topic as well, the hyperglycemia and how to prevent it, how to treat it. But yeah, it was an episode about responsible breeding, and we are going to do an episode on responsible adopting as well. So it was just that targeted episode, wasn't it, on that?
It was, yeah. And I am really proud of that episode. I think that was a really solid episode. And
me too.
Oh, another point is, just because somebody is a kennel club registered breeder doesn't mean they're a good breeder, and just because they're not registered doesn't mean that they're a bad breeder. It's like me and Hayley, when we talk about anything dog related, we always come to the conclusion it all depends. There's so many factors, and we discussed all those factors, so I'm not going to go over it again. Go back and listen to the episode if you haven't already.
I think if you listen to last episode, the one with Rachel Berrington, and then you listen to the one about where to go and find your puppy, then you will get all the information you need. So yes, you know, we do advise to go to look for a kennel club registered breeder, but then you have to interview that breeder. Doesn't mean they're going to be a good breeder. You have to then interview them, and it's just like a process of elimination, but that is a good place to start.
It is. And yeah, like I said, it depends, doesn't it? It always depends on so many factors. But yeah, it's all covered in our previous episode. So if you haven't listened to those two episodes, go back and have a listen.
Yeah.
Right. Shall we?
So today we're going to talk to you about the number two things your Chihuahua needs to know. So Kate, do you want to start us off? What is the number one thing our Chihuahua needs to know?
So the number one thing that your Chihuahua needs to know is focus on you. Can your Chihuahua look at you? And you probably, most of you, don't have this problem in the house, because they are very people orientated dogs, aren't they? When you're in the house, they're probably like, yeah, what are you doing now? But can they pay attention to you outside in the garden on a walk? And are you rewarding that behavior of focus? So we call it eye contact or focus.
Yep.
I call it eye contact. So with mine, I capture eye contact. So when they look at me, I reward them for doing that.
Yeah, it's a great it's your basic foundation skill. And if you've been to puppy class, this is one of the things they will teach you. So if you haven't been to puppy classes with your Chihuahua, or you haven't worked with a trainer, then and you're having some behavior issues or training issues like recall, like just your dog's not listening to you, eye contact is a really important place to start. Because if you don't have eye contact, you don't have focus from your dog, then really you can't do anything else.
No, focus is the foundation of everything that you'll do with your dog. Isn't it, training wise? Yeah. You can't train them if they won't pay attention to you. You can't train them to do anything else.
If they're not looking at you, what can you do? Oh, hello.
Yes.
You know, like, exactly. Can you look at me, please? You have to teach that. That's not something that they just will come automatically with as puppies. You have to teach that. So when my dog, for example, when my dogs are on a walk outside and they're walking with me on their leads, and this is just an example, by the way, and I stop, they immediately will turn around and go, oh, why are we stopped? And they'll give me eye contact because they have a strong reinforcement history for being rewarded when I do that. Because when I stop, I don't want them straining then on the other end of the lead, looking at this, looking at that. I need them to look at me because there's a reason why I've stopped. For me, that's just an example. And one of the things I do ask clients, if they're one of the first questions I do ask them about when they're outside with their dogs, is on a walk with your Chihuahua, how many times can you think, how many times does your Chihuahua look at you, look back at you, focus on you? And very often they'll say none or not at all.
And it's such an easy thing to teach, isn't it? So if it's,
oh, God,
if you've
it's
never
one of the
taught,
easiest things, yeah.
Yeah, if you've never taught your Chihuahua anything, this is a really, really good place to start. When they look at you, give you attention, reward them for that.
Yeah, we use, and I don't want to go into sort of like, you know, training methods too much here, but we very often, I think you're the same, Kate. We both use a method called capturing, which is where you capture or reward natural behaviors that your dog will offer you anyway. So your Chihuahua throughout the day is going to look at you, or if you're in the garden, your Chihuahua is going to look at you at some point. Now, if they are doing that and you're not rewarding, you're missing a massive opportunity there to reward and therefore increase that behavior happening again.
Missing an opportunity to build and strengthen the behavior, aren't you? But yeah, it's a really good place to start.
Yeah,
as a training exercise, isn't it? If you've done nothing else, and even if you do nothing else, do this.
What gets rewarded is then repeated.
Because what we don't want is a dog that's outwardly focused, do we? We don't want a dog
that's upward focus.
Yeah, we want upward focus. So we don't want a dog that's out there looking at everything that they might think, oh, I'm going to shout at that. Or, you know, obviously we want them to go and enjoy the environment when it's appropriate. But if we're out walking in the, like in town with them, we want them to be more focused on us and less focused on what's going on around them.
Yeah, absolutely. So a good example is when you are maybe when you stop to say hello to a neighbor, or you stop to chat to someone in the street. If you've got a dog that is looking at you and giving you focus while you do that, you can be talking to that neighbor, talking to that person, and your dog is not looking at all the other things in the environment. And then, you know, noticing things and maybe kicking off with barking or something like that. So having that upward focus that you can teach, that nice eye contact whenever I meet someone and talk to them in the street, it's just a really useful behavior to teach. And it's so easy.
It is so easy. But what I would recommend to our listeners to do is start off in the house where it's an easy environment, then take it out into the garden, and then take that behavior out onto walks. So what I mean by that is when you're out on walks, if your dog looks at you, make sure that you're rewarding that behavior that you like. So and you're slowly increasing the difficulty of the environment for the dog as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Kate, you know, absolute bang on there. Any behavior that you teach, you start teaching, you always start inside the house. Yeah. Lounge, then the kitchen, then the dining room, then maybe the back garden, et cetera, et cetera. You work your way up to a walk. We don't start on a walk because that's just too hard for the dog.
Which leads actually nicely onto our next.
Yay.
Our next section of number two, the second thing that we should be teaching our Chihuahua, which is a recall.
Recall. Oh my God. This is just so important, everyone. I'm going to say that it's so important to teach your Chihuahua to come back when you call them in emergencies, whenever you need them.
Yeah, and it's a non-negotiable.
When it is non-negotiable. Recall,
they come back. How we actually got onto the topic of this conversation is I had a run-in with some people that were shouting, "It's okay, he's friendly." And I know that most of our listeners are actually have got dogs with really solid recalls. But for some of you that might be struggling or you don't have such a great recall, we're going to talk a bit about how to build a better recall. And then we're going to talk about what to do in the situation where you're dealing with other people whose dogs don't have a good recall.
Yes, my dog is friendly brigade.
Yes.
Those lovely people. But first of all, the recall is really important.
Some people with small dogs sometimes think, oh, it doesn't matter if my dog's not got such a great recall because it's only small and what's he going to do? But a small dog can run over to another dog and cause a lot of issues, can't they? And having a good recall could save your dog's life.
Exactly.
Whatever size they are.
Yeah. This is exactly it. A recall can save your dog's life. Just think about that for a moment. How important that is.
Yeah.
I'll leave that with you for a second. Okay. So if it's something that can save your dog's life, why wouldn't you teach it? Why wouldn't you prioritize a recall?
I know.
So just because you have a small dog does not mean that they don't need a solid recall, because if you are in the position where you do see another larger dog coming towards you and your dog is on a long line or like or a flexi or is off lead, you need your dog back to you straight away because you don't know what that other dog's going to do. Okay, so having your dog close, like, you know, for example, come straight to you, no, non-negotiable, then you can choose whether to just wait for that other dog to go past, you need to move out of the way, or something else. So it's like, I need you here first, then we can decide what to do. If you can't get your dog back immediately, then there's work to be done. Before we talk about the My Dog is Friendly Brigade and them not having a recall, let's talk about us having a recall, because we can prevent lots of these potential incidents happening in the first place.
Yeah, and what I see happen a lot with a recall is people will teach it to puppies. So you'll call them, you'll reward them, and you'll do that over and over with puppies. And then dogs get older and you stop reinforcing the recall. And this is where I see so many issues. Mm-hmm. So people sometimes think, oh, my dog knows it now, so they should just come anyway. But as soon as you stop reinforcing the behavior, that's when the behavior starts to diminish. So recall is something I practice every day with my guys, and it's always rewarded with high value rewards. So as soon as they hear their recall word, they just immediately think, oh my God, it's the best food ever is coming my way.
Recall should be something that you're rewarding all the time to keep it topped up, keep it strong. It must be a very, very strong behavior.
I was going to say, out of all the behaviors you teach your dog, the recall for me is my most important. I don't care if their others is not polished, but their recall for me has to be the strongest behavior.
Yeah, I think actually, if you were not going to teach anything else, recall is your number one. So you've got to get that down, because like Kate said, it can save your dog's life. So shall we talk a little bit about the recall cue? Because a lot of people
I just remembered the story about the sausage.
Tell us about the sausage, Kate.
Okay, so I saw a client last year who said to me, well, it was a recall, it was for recall actually, and she said, my dog hasn't got a recall unless I say sausage. And I said, so
yeah,
you have a recall. And she's like, but then I've got to give him a sausage.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, so you have a recall and your recall is sausage.
And she's not rewarding with anything.
No, except when she says sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah. If she says sausage, the dog gets a sausage, and the dog always comes back whenever she says sausage.
So I wonder why she doesn't continue that.
I don't know. She does now, but yeah, it just made me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God, that's so funny.
Well, yours, what's yours? Yours is bacon, isn't it?
Right. Okay. So my recall cue for Bo is this: bacon. That bacon word said in that sing-songy tone, called in that sing-songy tone. Kiri, the Jack Russell, is Kiri come. sort of similar tone, but, you know, different words, obviously.
Yeah.
But the thing is with Beau, I did not teach her. I don't use bacon every time. It's just a word that I've picked because it's something that I don't go around saying bacon, bacon, bacon all the time. So the recall cue that you use is really, really important. And a lot of people, what they tend to do, they don't actually have a recall word or noise, do they? No. They'll just sort of try to get their dog back by saying, what's this? And shake a bit of, you know, shake like a packet of treats, or what's this? Come on, Benji. Come on now. What's this? Yeah. That is not a recall cue. That's not a recall, right? A recall cue is a word or noise that you say once in a quite an urgent tone and your dog comes to you immediately. And how we teach that is we create a really strong positive association with that word or noise, with something amazingly yummy, food, obviously, like hot dog sausage, like cooked chicken, like real meat or real cheese, something really stinky, tasty, something that a dog doesn't get normally. So otherwise, it's not strong enough. And you have to be very clear on what word or noise you're going to use.
So I used to teach come as my recall word, but I changed it because I realized I say it all the time. Just, you know, I'm like, come on then, let's go. You know, I'll say it in just when I'm having a conversation with the dogs. It's not necessarily a training conversation.
Yeah.
So I changed it to snacks.
Snacks.
Yeah, because I don't tend to say that generally in conversation. No. So that really helps as well. And some people have said to me, oh, but that's not a proper recall cue. It doesn't matter. The dog doesn't know what the proper
doesn't matter what it is. You can say pizza if you want.
Say anything. As long as it's always got the same word, same association all the time, and just use that word.
Yeah. It's not the word that you use, right? It's not that you can use a whistle. You can either whistling with your mouth, an actual whistle, dog whistle, or a word that you choose. It can be come, it can be here, it can be pizza, it can be bananas, bit of a mouthful, but here we are. Can be anything that you treats, cheat, whatever it may be, okay, that you feel comfortable shouting in the woods or in a park or in a field or in the back garden.
Yeah, and don't make the mistake.
Don't make
the mistakes to start saying it and then not rewarding.
Yeah. Coming back to that in a second. So it's not the word that you use. It's how strong that word is paired with something really, really magical. So I've made a video and I send this to clients quite often. It's called the Bacon Recall video with Beau, featuring Beau. And there's about 6 or 7 or maybe 8 or 9 little clips from a couple of walks. And I've kind of put them all together and edited them all together. And it's basically me shouting bacon. And I'll send you that afterwards. Shouting bacon. And she'll just literally come back to me every single time without like hesitation. So I'll send that to clients and they're always amazed. And it's just science. We've just paired this with that. There's an association, and she knows that when she hears that word, something amazing is going to happen.
You should post that on the page, actually.
I will post it on the page.
So our listeners. And when your recall cue has got such a strong association, you can then get away with the odd time. I know I just said don't ever say it and then not reward, but there has been situations where we've been on walks where I've had to call it and I haven't been able to reward immediately because we've had to get out of a situation.
Me too.
And you have to just say it and then get out of there and then reward them later. But because you've got, it's like dipping into a bank account, isn't it? Because you've put in such a high level of reinforcement, you can dip into it without there being too much damage, as long as you then top it back up constantly. I'm constantly topping it up all the time.
Yeah, me too. So if for example, I need the dogs in from the back garden, for example, and one of them say it's Beau, and I'll say bacon, but I don't have any treats on me at that stage. So you'll still come in because it's the word that's being conditioned. It's not whether she's not looking to see whether I'm holding a treat. You know, it's not a bribe. This is something that you've conditioned over and over again to mean something amazing. So don't get it confused with holding a treat out. Yes. Like I've never held a piece of, like, a slice of bacon out and dangled it into her face and said bacon, and then she comes. No, it's something that I've paired. Yeah, it's actually quite an easy thing to do. We do it all the time. I bet you can, listeners, I'm talking to you listeners now. I bet you, if you opened a treat packet, in fact, let's do an experiment right now. If you're listening and you're in your house, go to the treat cupboard right now, right? Don't say anything to your dogs. Go to your treat cupboard right now, open it. Or if you have a treat packet or whatever, open your treat cupboard or dog food cupboard. And I bet you, you turn around and your chihuahua is standing right there. That's a recall, because guess what, it's been paired with something yummy coming out of that cupboard.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, we said it's not a bribe. It's not a bribe. When it's, once it's been trained, it's a payment for the behavior.
Yeah, it's just a payment. It's currency, isn't it?
But yeah, that mine as well, they'll come from the word without the expectation of me. Well, they do actually expect me to have, but I haven't got the treat. That I said that really badly. I'm not waving the treat at them. They just come because they know that there's going to be a treat.
Absolutely. Yeah. So some people say, like, you'll see a lot of these videos on TikTok where the person's like opening a cheese, like they're opening a packet of cheese or something like that, or they're opening the fridge or something, or a biscuit tin, and the dog suddenly appears. What they've done, like I just said, is condition a really, really strong recall cue. Doesn't matter what it is, and that recall cue is the sound of the fridge opening or the sound of that treat cupboard opening. It's a powerful concept.
It's a classically conditioned response.
Yes, that's the scientific term.
Yeah, which you all already have done.
Yeah, you do it all the time
without noticing.
Do it all the time. Yeah, exactly. You know, take your lead off the hook. Oh, the dog thinks walk. Amazing. Mm-hmm. You do it all the time. You pair this with that, this with that, this with that, all the time. So that's how I start to teach a recall, or to teach a dog to come back when called. And Kate's the same. Of course, there's lots to it. There's lots more to it. But that's how we start. Moving on, my dog is friendly. We're going to be talking to you about those people that allow their dogs to run up to your chihuahua and they say, it's okay, my dog is friendly.
Ah.
This is a big, yeah, exactly. Ah, why? Why do you do that? This is a big subject, isn't it? And it's something that's talked about a lot. So
it is. It's been done to death.
It's been done to death. And if you've heard this before, you know, you're going to hear us talk about it again. We haven't actually broached it really on this podcast, but we are going to talk about it today. And if you haven't heard about this, then this will be enlightening for you.
I'm sure all of our listeners, if you haven't heard of it, I really want to hear from you, because you are like the rarest person. I'm sure that all of our listeners have experienced this. Other dogs, probably usually with, because we're the chihuahua people and tiny dog people, usually big dogs running over to our tiny dogs, scaring the life scaring the life out of them. And then the owner following along, if they even follow along and notice, shouting, it's okay, they're friendly, or he just wants to play.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you've got this big lumbering dog, even if they are friendly, you know, wanting to play, wanting to engage, chasing your poor little chihuahua around the place. And your chihuahua's like, get this thing away from me, help. And you're kind of powerless, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. It's just the worst situation.
This happened to you quite recently, didn't it?
Yes. And then it started me off ranting.
Oh, I had a massive voice note after it. A very long one, wasn't it? A very ranty voice note.
Yes.
Oh my God, I can't believe what just happened.
Yes. I used words that I can't use in this podcast.
No.
But basically what happened was, I was walking my dogs in a woods. I had good view of in front of me and behind me. And I clocked this person with three golden retrievers off the lead. And as soon as I clocked them, we did an about turn. But before I could actually get Casper on the lead. The dogs were honours. So two of them were on the lead and the three golden retrievers were honours. And poor Casper shot off behind me, being chased by three golden retrievers, with the owner not even attempting to do a recall, just shouting, "Oh, they only want to play." I was like, "I don't care if your dogs just want to play. They're terrorizing my puppy." And it's an awful situation to be in. And you're helpless in that situation, aren't you?
Yeah. This can actually have massive repercussions on the behavior of your dog, because that is actually quite a terrifying and possibly traumatic experience to go through. We come across this very often, don't we?
We do. And now I'm experiencing reactivity with Casper.
It can happen to anyone, even a trainer.
Yeah.
Because it is out of your control. We can do what we can do. But if that other person's just, if your dog's out of control, there's not a lot we can do really if it's loose. So, we're going to give you some sort of things that you can do, but ultimately it can be a very traumatic experience for your dog. Because basically, if your chihuahua is chased by a larger dog, even if that dog is friendly, that's like almost like a predator versus prey situation. And it could turn very nasty.
Very quickly. And actually, even though I was really annoyed with the owner, I was really annoyed with myself as well, because I felt like I shouldn't have walked him somewhere where the dog could possibly be off lead.
Yeah.
Because normally when I let them off lead, it's in big open spaces where I can see that there's definitely nobody there. But I made the mistake this time of taking them somewhere where there could possibly be other people. Because normally if I walk them on lead around town or off lead in big open spaces where I can see. And then I could say, well, she should have been able to control her dogs. But unfortunately, that's just not reality, is it? There's always going to be people with dogs out of control. So my lesson that I learned was I'm not walking them there again.
Yeah, but I bet you she's still walking her dogs off lead on there. And I bet you her dogs are still terrorizing other dogs. Not really fair, is it?
No, it isn't. And she definitely will be, because it's not the first time that I've seen her there. I've clocked her before, but normally we clock her from a distance enough to be able to make an escape from it. But just this time,
it's against the law to allow your dog to terrorize.
Against the law to have your dog dangerously out of control, or even for people to feel threatened by your dog. Even if your dog does nothing, it's against the law to feel that they might cause you harm.
Now, Kate, you might have to help me with the dates, because I always get these dates kind of twisted a little bit. But there's the dog, dangerous dog. Yeah, it is against the law to allow your dog to terrorize a person or another dog, even if your dog is friendly. So in the Dangerous Dogs Act that was brought out in, 1991?
Yeah, and then amended in 2014.
Yeah. So the Dangerous Dogs Act was brought out in 1981 for the banned breeds that, you know, the Pitbull Terrier and the other breeds that were on the banned list. Now, we kind of all know about that one, but in 2014, was it? In May 2014, they amended that Dangerous Dogs Act. This covers any dog of any breed and any age that is deemed dangerously out of control in a public place. That can be your driveway, that can be the street, that can be a park, the woods, whatever, it doesn't matter. If your dog is deemed to be dangerously out of control in a public place, you are liable for prosecution. And that dog can be any age, can be any breed, it can be friendly. So if you've got a friendly, and these are obviously we are talking to you guys as well, because even if your chihuahua runs up yapping to another person, this applies to you as well. So if that person feels threatened, they can actually report you and you can be prosecuted. Basically, what I'm saying is it is against the law for any dog to be dangerously out of control, whether friendly or not, of any breed of any age in a public place. Yeah. Do you have anything to add?
Yes. So it doesn't even, a dog doesn't even have to bite somebody. Just if you feel threatened by that dog, where you feel that it might cause you harm.
Yeah. Even if you feel that dog might cause you harm and that person feels if threatened by them, maybe they're scared of dogs or they think, oh my God, I don't know what this dog's going to do. They can prosecute you. They can report you. Sorry. And not many people, hardly any people know about this amendment to the Dangerous Dogs Act.
I know. Do you know what I find really odd is that being British, like, we apologise for everything. we apologize if somebody bumps into us and it wasn't our fault. We apologize. But what I find weird is that when people's dogs run over, and they don't apologize generally, do they? You might get the occasional one, but mostly the people that shout, "It's okay, he's friendly," they don't say, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." Because we're not bashing people here, because we've all been there. We've all been that person where the dog, their recall's failed, and we've had to run over and be like, "I'm so sorry," and gone over and got our dog and thought, right, we need to work on something here. You know, we've all been there. But the people that just shout, "It's okay, he's friendly," and carry on, just find it funny, like, being British, that it's not something they consider apologizing for.
Yeah. I don't know. I think some people just turn into zombies. I'm not sure. They walk their dogs. And I'm not bashing anyone, but it's like they're walking along in their own world. They're not noticed. And I think also it comes down to a little bit of people not being able to read dogs too well either. So your dog might be friendly, but they're not reading that other dog, or that not reading that situation. Mm. You know, they're not reading the situation properly. Lack of education possibly there.
I don't know what it is, but all I know is it drives me nuts.
Lemon annoying.
Yes. Of all the things I find irritating, that I find the most irritating. And if somebody says sorry, because I have had situations where they've had a puppy and it's been running around crazy and the owners said, so they've been like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." They've come and got their dog. I've been like, you know, that's fine. You know, these things happen. It's when they don't say sorry, or they don't come and get their dog. They don't even acknowledge the situation happening. That's when it annoys me.
Or you can't see the person. Where is the owner?
Yeah,
they're just miles away, and their dog could be doing anything. Like, it's a loose cannon. It's just causing chaos.
Could be starting a fight.
Yeah, could be doing anything, and the owner's just going, just sort of, you know, trailing behind you, thinking, "Where are you?" In the meantime, you're trying to control your dogs and trying to stop them panicking and whatever else is going on, and you're trying to control this other dog, which you don't actually know what the temperament is like,
no,
what their history is like. You don't know what's going to happen with this situation. I know, it's just it gets me really passionate with I think you're the same.
I'm trying to control myself, but instead of listening to me ranting, I'm sure our listeners would like to know, what can they do in those situations where you see another dog, a he's friendly dog, making a beeline for you and your dog? What can we do in those situations?
Right. Okay. So before we actually just talk about that, I want to just talk about also what happens when that person gets their dog as well. Because I've had a couple, and I'm sorry, I'm just before.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Yeah. I've had a couple of situations where I'll say, "Can you come and get your dog, please?" And they'll be recalling and recalling and recalling, and nothing happens. Or they'll start shouting aggressively at their dog. "Oi, Benji, oi, come here," right? And they'll come into my space to get their dog, all aggressive. And guess what? My dog's now scared of that person coming into our space being all aggressive because they can't control their dog. So that's also happened to me. And now Bo is really terrified of shouty people. If anyone shouts, she's like almost, she's better now, but she used to bolt. And I used to really watch her, because a couple of times we've had dogs come up to us and the owner has come into us all aggressive. And I said, "No, don't shout. Don't shout, because you'll frighten my dog." It's like they can't read the room. They can't read the room.
No, they can't read the room. And yeah, it's just,
you know, so it can go very wrong very quickly and cause more issues than we think initially as well. But yeah, what can we do about it?
Yeah, what can we do about it?
Help.
Going back to the, sorry, just rewinding again, so if your dog does run up to another dog, and so don't go over there shouting, because you might scare their dog. You might scare that person as well. It'd scare me if somebody came over shouting.
Yeah.
Don't just ignore the situation. Go and get your dog calmly and say, apologize for that, because you might have scared the person, you might have scared the dog.
Yeah, be polite, be calm. First of all, be calm, right? go and retrieve your dog. But what I would always do, if you're one of those people that has a dog with no recall, or you have to go and retrieve your dog, always take food out with you. Always take foods, like, you know, take some hot dogs out with you. Like, I don't mean like a whole chopped up hot dog, something that's high value, right? Go over to that dog, your dog, take the collar if you can, take the harness, and immediately put a piece of food on your dog's nose and draw it back away. So like, pull your dog's nose with the food, like it's a magnet, like a food magnet. So imagine you've got a piece of hot dog. That piece of hot dog is like a magnet, and your dog's nose is a magnet, and pull your dog away with that food. And your dog should just come away without you having to say anything. This is what I would do if it was my dog and I didn't have a recall, but I couldn't shout and make a scene. Mm-hmm. I'd calmly stride over, put my hand on the dog's collar, at the same time, pull a piece of food out, and just calmly draw my dog away, pull my dog away with the food, and then wait for that person to go, restrain my dog, or put the lead on the dog. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
But of course, we're mainly talking to the other side, other listeners, with people on the receiving end. So yes, so how do we deal with those dogs that come up to us and there's no control?
Be vigilant, firstly, is what I would say. When you're walking your dog, any dog, particularly the tiny dogs, be vigilant of your surroundings. Don't be walking your dog on your phone. Because a lot of the time, people are walking and they're looking at their phone. They're not paying attention to the environment, and it only takes a second for, you know, something to happen.
That's
so when you're walking
one.
Your dog, be with your dog, be aware of your surroundings, know where there could be dogs appearing from. This is how I walk my dogs. I'm always very aware. If it's somewhere where there might be other people, I'm very aware of where they might appear from. But I try to walk them in places. Luckily, where I am, I can walk them in places where I know there's not going to be anybody.
Yeah, stay off your phone, honestly.
Yeah, stay off your phone and be present with your dog.
Yeah.
And be vigilant of the environment around you. If you do have a dog suddenly approach you.
Can I just add to that as well before we go into actual when dogs approaching? Yeah, yeah. So when we're just staying on the subject of avoiding situations in the first place, as Kate said, stay off your phone, which is a really good idea. Just be present. But for me also, if I hear anything, so be listen with your ears as well. So if you hear anyone repeatedly shouting their dog in the distance, Benji, 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 you know, and that clearly that dog has no recall. There is a dog somewhere off lead that has no control. Avoid walking. So yes, if there's a person shouting repeatedly the dog's recall cue or their name, then avoid that area. Don't walk into trouble, walk away, because there's clearly a dog off lead. Likewise, if there's someone shouting a lot, like, oi, oi, stop it, get out of there, whatever else, you know, lots of sort of aggressive tones with their dog, again, there's obviously a dog out of control. Right. So if you hear any shouting, just avoid that, walk the other way. So let's move on to what to do if you do actually have one of those dogs approach you.
If you can do an about turn, get out of there. I would actually, and some people say don't do this, but I would pick my dogs up.
Oh yeah, you can, can't you? We can pick them up. Yeah.
The reasons that people say don't pick them up is because it makes you a target, but I would 100% pick my dogs up.
Yeah,
and I have done that many times because I've had quite large dogs approaches and like really right up to us, and I've just picked them up. And yes, that might make me a target, but my dogs are safe.
And you can walk quicker than your dogs as well, so you can get out of there quicker. Those little legs, you know, I think probably, yeah, pick your dog up. It's absolutely fine to do that. I also will say to clients, use a treat, what I call a treat bomb. So when you're out walking your dogs, take an extra load of treats out with you in your pocket or somewhere easily accessible. So if you do have a dog suddenly appear out of nowhere, or you can see a dog coming towards you and it's targeting you, and you're thinking this dog looks a bit hostile or I don't know what else to do, what I would suggest people do is simply get a handful of food and toss it in front of them. So you create this wall of food or this barrier of food. And it's like the scent. So it should stop that dog in its tracks with the scent of the food. And it hopefully it'll start eating the food, especially if it's something really high value, like hot dog, sausage or something. then that buys you time to get out of there, and then you can pick your dog up and just get out of there.
Yeah.
And then that's in real emergencies.
Yeah, that's in a real, that's when you can see that the owner has zero control.
Yeah.
And there's no recall on that dog and it's incoming.
Yeah.
And then the owner comes along and says, oh, don't feed my dog because it's got allergies. And then I say, I don't give. I don't care if it's got allergies, because shouldn't be off the lead if you can't recall your dog.
Exactly. I don't care, because if I'll feed your dog what I like, because you know what, your dog should have a recall anyway.
And if being fed the wrong food is the worst thing that happens to a dog with zero recall, then that owner's got off lightly.
To be honest with you, let's be real, we can possibly be avoiding some predatory drift there. Mm. So we could possibly be saving our dog's life if it means me tossing a piece of some food out to another dog who might have an upset tummy the next day, but it saves my dog's life. Guess yeah. what, I'm gonna do it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right, so we can pick them up, we can do a food bomb, we can also shout sit at the dog that's incoming, because usually everybody teaches a sit, or it's something the dog's probably heard in its life, even if it doesn't understand sit. You can yeah. shout sit at it and hope that just the fact that you shouted a command that maybe it knows will make it stop and think, oh, actually, maybe I'll yeah. do that, or even return to the owner.
Yeah, and if you do have food on you, of course, it might be smelling the food, and hearing the sit might just make it stop in its tracks for a treat, you know. Another one that I sometimes suggest is something like, get to your bed, on your bed, something like that. Because you know what? A lot of dogs that have no control, maybe you're shouted at a lot, I don't know. And if they're just a young dog, that maybe they know what get to your bed means. So they might, I know it's horrible, but they might slink off, yeah. you know, get to your bed, on your bed, something like that. Try sit first.
I think just the you engaging with the dog might just be enough to make it think twice. But yeah, it's not a nice situation to be in. And I really wish that we didn't have to give you any tips on what you can do, because I wish that we wouldn't be put in these situations. But I know that we are all going to be at some point again, aren't they?
Getting
it's just never
going to
go away.
I think possibly maybe there's more of it at the moment because of the so-called lockdown puppies missing some vital training, people not knowing how to train a recall because they didn't go to the puppy classes. That's no excuse, I know, but maybe these dogs now sort of 2.5, 3 years old with lack of recall, possibly.
Maybe and why. I think some people as well I think the people that are doing this, it's okay, he's friendly, they just don't understand how important it is and how not okay it is. Like, it really is not okay, because the people that are doing it are the people that think it's normal dog behavior. That's what the problem is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not normal dog behavior.
No, if you've got a small, if you've got any dog, it's a dangerous situation to be in and it is against the law. Oh, I'll tell you what, another one good one is, and I know we're talking about keeping our chihuahuas safe, but you could always use something like, sorry, my dog's got kennel cough, my dog's got an infection, something like that, to really, oh, okay, Benji, you know. So you could maybe shout out a warning to the owner. If you can see the owner, shout out a warning. So it's got kennel cough, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good
No one idea. Wants their dog infected, do they?
No. No. But yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, if you can see the owner, ask them to recall their dog. It often doesn't work, but
yeah, we haven't actually move through the stages. So the first thing we need to do is be polite at all times if you can. So yeah, the first thing, can you recall your dog, please? Can you call your dog back, please? Mine doesn't like other dogs, or whatever you want to use.
Yeah,
can you please call your dog back? If they can't do that, you just need to do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the stages.
Whether that's make an about turn and walk, try and create distance between you and the other dog. Sometimes it happens so quickly so if you know that the dog is incoming and you don't have time to make a U-turn, that's when you would treat bomb, isn't it? Because then that gives you a bit more time, which actually in hindsight is what I should have done with the golden retrievers, because
I love a treat bomb.
Yeah, I thought that they were far enough away that we had time to get out of there, but in hindsight, they weren't. Because by the time I'd got everyone on the lead and turned around, they were literally right with us. So
sometimes it happens so fast, you can't really. But I think having these emergency protocols or emergency kind of skills up your sleeve is really important.
I think.
And, you know, anyone can reach into their pocket and toss a pizza, some food onto the ground.
Yeah, which buys you some time. And if you can, pick your dog up.
Yeah.
Pick your dog up and get out of there. We've done that a couple of times when we've seen people.
Absolutely. And because we're talking to you guys who have chihuahuas, that's easier than having, imagine if you have you can't do that with a Labrador.
No.
So we are at a little bit of an advantage, actually, in a way, with the small dogs, because we can just pick them up.
Pick them up and get out of Dodge.
Yeah. As Steve Mann would say, get out of Dodge. Yeah. You'd be very passionate about this one.
I know. I do think, though, that the key is to be vigilant, be aware of your surroundings, and don't be on your phone.
Look, I mean, a lot of incidents with dogs can be prevented. A lot can be prevented. You just got to be 20 seconds ahead of your dog. You've got to know, like Kate says, be more vigilant, stay off that phone. I mean, I see people with like headphones in walking their dogs, and I'm thinking, well, how do you know if someone's like, you can't hear someone calling their dog from in the distance? And you know, because it's not just about looking and using your eyes, it's about using your ears as well.
I know. If I ever have my headphones in, I always have one in, because I don't like to, I feel vulnerable if I can't hear exactly, you know,
what's
behind me. Because it's not just with the dogs. If we get into it, it might be crazy people out there.
Crazy people in the woods. Yeah. And, you know, you need to listen out for tags, jangling as well.
Yeah.
So most dogs have a tag. And if there is a dog, if there's a tag jangling somewhere, then just be aware of there's a dog in the vicinity.
And if you've had, which I'm sure all of you have had, incidents or have experienced this topic, we would really like to hear from you about your experiences.
Please let us know.
And if you've got any tips that we haven't mentioned.
Yes. If you've got any tips that we haven't talked about, then please let us know. Also, if you have a dog with a poor recall and you're one of those dog owners that unfortunately their dog's always running up to other dogs, let us know or reach out for some help. And let us know, obviously, as Kate said, if this has happened to you, or maybe if it hasn't happened to you and you're wondering what the hell we're talking about.
I definitely want to hear from those people.
Anybody,
never let us know.
Yeah. What are you blithering on about? This has never happened to me. Yeah. It has.
If somebody's listening and they've never experienced this, I want to know what their secret is.
Yeah. They live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I live in the middle of nowhere they live in the middle of nowhere and never go outside of that.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah.
But the main takeaway is make sure your dog has a recall. Avoid people with dogs and don't have a recall.
That's exactly. Also a bit about focus as well.
The takeaway from this episode should be, has my dog got focus? If not, I'm going to train that. Can I recall my dog? If I can't, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get some help and get somebody to help me with that. Mm-hmm. And try to avoid people walking around with no recall on their dog, which I know is impossible in most situations. Mm. But if you follow our tips, there are things you can do in those situations.
And don't worry about picking your dog up.
No,
and just getting out of there, because that's the safest option.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what other people are saying. If you're walking with family members, if the dog owner itself going, oh, don't pick it up, you'll make my dog worse. Just pick your dog up and get out of there, and drop some food, and don't worry about that other person talking, you know, shouting at you with my dog can't eat that. Well, your dog should have a recall. Sorry, we've got to be strong about this.
We do, and they should have
I'm
a
sick
recall.
Of it.
This is
maybe
where the
it'll
passion...
teach them a lesson.
Maybe it will. See, it's hard to do this, talk about this subject without ranting, but just
yeah.
So I know that most of our listeners are not going to be It's Okay, He's Friendly people, but if you know somebody, if you know people that shout It's Okay, He's Friendly at their dogs, tell them to listen to this podcast.
Yes. So, yeah, the non-Chihuahua could be, it might be Chihuahuas actually that run up to people that are friendly. Yeah, so it might be you guys. But if you have any other people with if you have any family members, friends with other breeds of dog, who are these people who allow their so-called friendly dogs to run up to other dogs, whether on lead or off lead, they got to listen to this podcast, because it's really, really important. They might sort of sense our passion on this subject.
Oh God. Yeah, the people that don't get it, they just don't get it. And they're like, why does it matter if my dog runs up to other dogs? It just does, because it causes reactivity and problems in other dogs. It scares people, it scares dogs. It could start a fight. So many reasons, which I may or may not keep this in this episode, but thank you for listening.
I actually do want to add something.
Okay.
If dogs on leads, right?
Yeah, dogs on leads.
So if you have a dog that is running up to other people or other dogs, and their dog's on lead, you know, recovering from an operation, they're in season, they're reactive.
Dogs on leads and dogs off lead is a fight waiting to happen.
Yeah. So this is just an added point to make. It is more likely for reactivity or an actual fight to happen, to break out, if an off lead dog approaches an on lead dog. Because this is because when a dog's on lead, it is feeling more restricted. It's feeling more trapped. It's more likely to lash out, and it can't perform its natural behavior as it would off lead. So it does know that it's on lead. So if your dog's on lead and an off lead dog is approaching your dog, that is potentially a very dangerous situation. And this is partly why we're so passionate about this, because a lot of these incidents can be prevented.
Because they can't practice their flight response, which a lot of dogs might want to run away, so that if they can't flee, they go to fight. And
yeah, exactly. It's fight or flight. So when you're more, if you're trapped on the lead, your fight instinct's probably going to kick in more so than your flight. And you can't, if your lead's held tightly, or you're on a halty or something like that, you're not able to perform the natural behaviors like a head turn, a sniff, to communicate to that other dog approaching that you mean no harm yourself. It's just a disaster waiting to happen, in my opinion.
If our listeners would like to get in with this rant, then please do so in the comments. If you'd like to join in with our ranting, do you know what I find the most annoying? Well, all of it, I find it all annoying, but the fact that people don't have control of their dogs, which then come over and upset our dogs, and then it looks like our dogs are the ones with the problem because their dog's just being friendly.
Yeah,
it's just infuriating. And
then our dogs can then develop certain reactive behaviors, which then looks like they're just yappy, snappy little ankle biters, where in fact it's caused by an off-lead dog in the first place traumatizing them. Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's not going to change. So all we can do is protect our dogs the best we can.
Yep.
So I hope everybody enjoyed this ranting. I tried to not be ranty, but I couldn't help it.
Sometimes you've got to be ranty, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to just say out how it is, really. Mm. Train your dogs and protect your dogs. Done.
So I'm so sick of seeing chihuahuas have been attacked. And you see it all the time, don't you, in Facebook groups. It's like a random dog came and attacked my chihuahua. And we shouldn't be put in that situation. Yeah, exactly. We shouldn't have to.
How the hell did that happen? You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
I know. And that dog very well might be friendly, but we shouldn't have to be put in that situation where we have to protect our dogs. And I know we are, but it just, people need to be more responsible. And I don't know why I'm telling our listeners this, because I'm sure our listeners are all very, otherwise they wouldn't be
very,
listening.
Very responsible. If my dog had a fractured skull from an off-lead dog approaching it in some way and knocking into it or attacking it, they would, that I would just be absolutely livid.
I would.
There's no excuse.
No, there isn't.
There is no excuses for not training your dog. There's so many resources out there. There's so much information to teach a recall. It's dead easy. You know, teach your dog a recall, and at the same time, protect your dogs at walk, stay off your phone, you know, be 20 seconds ahead. That's me done.
If you've enjoyed this ranty episode, please like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, but more importantly, tell the people that shout "It's okay, he's friendly," because they're the ones that need to hear this. And we will see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.